Well, good morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, if you'd turn there, please, as we're continuing this very, very short series on the subject of grace. If you were not here last week, let me give you just a real brief review. We talked about grace given, and then we talked about grace applied. Grace given means that we were saved by grace. There's nothing you did to earn it. God gave that grace to you. Grace applied is that we apply grace all throughout our lives, but the tendency for many Christians is to believe that at the moment that they receive the grace for salvation, that was the end of grace. We always go back to our testimony story, but we fail to realize that grace is for our entire Christian life. It's how we live the Christian life. It's the power for the Christian life. We talked about the Apostle Paul saying that he labored more than all of them, all the others that were around him. And he said, but it wasn't I that was doing the laboring. It was the grace of God. He tells us also in Titus, he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, how we should live in this present world. So grace, we learned, was not just something that saves us. It is the power to live the Christian life, and it's an instructor. So that's kind of where we were last week in looking at this subject matter. Now today, you're going to find out just how valuable you are in the kingdom of God regarding the subject matter of grace. We're going to look at a particular text in 1 Peter here, but it's very, very important that everybody is kind of on the same page here. So I'm going to start by saying this, as I do almost every week. I invite those of you who wouldn't consider yourselves a Christian yet, you're still kind of wrestling through it, maybe you came today, maybe somebody invited you, maybe you're just checking out church, what have you. I want you to understand, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts today. And as we look at that, we're going to separate the difference between a talent and a gift. And here I'm going to give you sort of my definition, and I'm going to take it, I believe, from the scriptures. I believe that excluding the miraculous gifts, the gifts of healing and that type of thing, outside of those gifts, normally, as I see it, a person who has a talent in life, born with some sort of an ability, some sort of a skill set, when they become a believer, that talent, that ability, that skill set is now empowered by God's grace, and it's used for the advancement of the kingdom. Prior to that, it was used for the advancement in medicine or your business or what have you. Now that you step into the kingdom, that very ability, that very talent is now being used to advance the kingdom of God. So our tagline today is that grace empowers talent to do what talent could never do alone. Grace empowers talent to do what talent could never do alone. And some of you are going to say, well, I don't know what my spiritual gift is, or I don't think I have one. We're going to get rid of all those excuses today, all right? But we're going to look at a particular text here. There's one here in 1 Peter that I think really, really tells us just how valuable we are to the kingdom. And it's very important that we understand this. So if you're in 1 Peter chapter 4, which is what we're going to look at, 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 7 through 11, just kind of follow along. Prior to this, Peter is talking about loving people. He's talking about how difficult it is sometimes to live in a world that challenges us. Much of Peter's writings sometimes deal with last things or end times. And when the Bible uses that term, it's often using it from the cross to now. It doesn't mean that it was necessarily going to happen in Peter's day, but it eventually would happen. So let's pick up what this particular thought, because I'm going to zero in on one particular text here, and then we're going to take a good hard look at the subject matter of our giftedness. We're in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 7, we read this. The end of all things is near, and from God's standpoint, that is true even when it was written 2,000 years ago. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Now listen carefully to verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do so as speaking in accordance with the word of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength of God that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let me pray. Father, as we look at this very, very important matter that's before us today, I pray that you'd give me the words to speak, that you would empower those words. I pray, Father, that every person here, whether they are outside the kingdom or inside, that they would understand that you have given them talents, and if they're inside, you have given them grace that empowers that talent to do what talent cannot do alone. So teach us much today, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't imagine that you have not, somewhere in your life, been in the workplace, been in the military, big business, government, on a sports team, being on some kind of a teaching panel someplace, or a board for the school system, or what have you, that you have not noticed that there are some people that simply don't carry their weight. They don't do any heavy lifting, and it's left to everybody else to do that. You've seen what that does. When I was working my way through Bible college, some of you may have heard me tell this story, when I was parking cars at the Diplomat Hotel 43, 44 years ago, here's how it worked. You'd have about six or seven runners that would go park the car, and then later they'd have to pick up the car, and that's when you got the tip, all right? So if there was a big show, a big event, you know, Frank Sinatra or Sammy Davis Jr. Oh, none of you even know who those people are. I'm too old. All right. Any rate, okay. So a big show, there's a lot of people. You might have 10 or 12 runners. And so when the show breaks and you're just going at it, picking up cars and getting tips, because obviously the more tips you get, the more money you make. So the faster you run, the more you make. But that's not how it worked. Whatever you got, you came and you dropped it in a box. And at the end of the night, everybody was divided up equally amongst the 10 or 12 runners. So everybody got the same thing. So if you just simply ran down to the seawall and smoked a marijuana, you got the same thing that everybody else was getting. And because I was a little bit older, I was starting Bible college at 28, and most of the guys were 17 or 18, I would gather the guys from Bible college that worked there, and I'd say, listen, We've got to run like crazy. We've got to do our best because the rest of these guys may not. That's how it works, but we really need to be an example. And it was tough because I'll tell you, in the workplace, in the work world, wherever you are, wherever it happens to be, or on a sports team, when you see people that are not doing what they're capable of doing or refusing to do what they're capable of doing, it brings down the morale of the workplace. It's hard. It's difficult. And it's even harder today because of litigation to get rid of people in certain areas. It's just really, really difficult. We've become a very litigious society. But here's something that normally happens in the business arena, at least as I understand it. I know it certainly did in sales when I was in sales many, many years ago, that there is a performance review. And if you didn't live up to that performance review, you could be released. If you didn't make the sales, if you weren't leading the sales team well, or whatever your job was, you could be released. And that works well in the world. The problem is that doesn't exist in the church. There is no end of the year review for people in the body of Christ. It doesn't exist. Therefore, none of us really know how everybody else is doing. You could be hiding in the kingdom. You could have this incredible spiritual gift, which you do have, and it could just be sealed in a bottle, and you've never, ever used it. And yet God, according to this particular passage here, has given that to you, and he has given it to you as a gift. It is a grace gift. Listen carefully to the wording of 1 Peter 4:10 again. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. The assumption here is you have a gift. And there are other passages of Scripture that make that very, very clear. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Various gifts, various forms that are represented here, all right? And again, if you wouldn't consider yourself a believer, you have a talent. You've got an amazing talent, whether you believe it or not, that was given to you by God. And you can use that talent in the world of medicine. You might discover a cure for a particular disease. You can use it in the business world to help advance that business. You can do great things. But it's limited as to what you can do. Because once that talent is empowered by grace, it changes the whole business environment for this reason. The kingdom of God has now moved into that environment. All you need is one believer in a huge organization, and the kingdom of God is there. If that believer is administering that grace, I'm not talking about running around preaching Jesus or all, not talking about that at all. I'm talking about each person realizing, wow, the scriptures tell me that I am empowered by God with his grace. And if I use this in the place that he has set me, this will advance his kingdom. If I understand this correctly, this will advance his kingdom. Whether you understand it or not, whether you see it or not, you might even die and never see the results, but God is at work behind the scenes, which is why it says in Hebrews, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Not every gift, not every ability, not every promise, not every grace gift are you always going to see the results in this life. You're simply responsible to use that gift, to administer that gift to other people, to demonstrate your loving kindness to other people because of that particular gift. The truth of the matter is, this is a gift that you have been given in the sense that you have been given salvation, which is a gift from God. And then, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you have been placed into the body as a gift to the body of Christ. And you have a gift, you are a gift, and you have a gift that God has sovereignly given you. 1 Corinthians 12 says he has given it to you as it has pleased him. People here are not going to have the same giftedness. Normally there's sort of one major gift that sort of drives you, and we'll talk about how to figure out what that is, but you might have multiple areas. But generally speaking, a person is driven by this one particular gift, and if you're outside the kingdom, you're driven by that talent. And you tend to see life from that perspective. When Paul uses this whole idea of giftedness, here's what he does. He talks about the body of Christ as though it were a physical body. We don't need to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says that no one individual makes up the entire body. But the whole body collectively together, working together, is a coordinated body. And he talks about how the eye cannot say to the ear, I don't have any need of you. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't have any need of you. His whole point is that everybody needs everybody else. When this works collectively and works well, there's no telling what God can do. 12 men turned the world upside down for Christ because they were using that and leveraging that to the degree that God wanted them to do that. Here's the problem with the analogy between the body and spiritual giftedness. Spiritual giftedness grows as you age. In other words, if you have a particular gift, a grace gift that's in the body, that can advance as years go. No one ever uses their gift perfectly. It continues to mature and advance. The physical body, however, starts falling apart as time moves on. You know, things just aren't what they used to be. I've had to come to grips. It's really hard. I've had to come to grips with the fact that the day is coming when I will no longer be able to bench press 400 pounds. It hadn't happened yet, but it's coming, all right? How do I dream? Okay, so as your body is going downhill, your grace gift can be exceptionally empowered by grace. This is what gives us so much hope. And so what I want to do today, my objective today, is that when you leave here, you will no longer have an excuse and say, I don't have any idea what my abilities are or my skill set in this area. I don't know how God has empowered me, because I'm going to help you find that, all right? We're going to do just a very, very quick survey this way. Now, you can go online, and there are spiritual gift tests, and I think, well, what did they do when they didn't have online, you know, back in the early church? I guess it's okay to do that. I haven't done that. I'm going to tell you three things that I think make it pretty clear what your giftedness is. I don't care what your personality is, but I think these three things kind of play out here in this. And I want you to know that every single believer as a gift, according to this passage you read and one we're going to look at in a moment. The first thing out of the three things that I would look at is, what is it that frustrates you in life, when you are frustrated with something? If, for example, you walk into an organization, or you walk into a church, you walk into a setting, and everything seems confused, things are just all out of place, nothing is terribly well organized, and you're just frustrated. You can't figure out why things aren't running better. You might very well have the gift of administration. You immediately think, I could solve this, I could fix that, what is wrong with these people? You're frustrated, all right? If you're outside the kingdom, that's your talent. If you're inside the kingdom, that is a grace gift that will be used in a way that a talent can never be used, because you'll come into that setting and you can take the grace of God in that particular giftedness and use it to help fix things. Now, because I do not have that gift, I could walk into a setting where there's just total disaster and I wouldn't see it. I would have no idea that there was any problem at all, because I just don't see life that way, all right? And my life kind of looks like that, all right? A lot of chaos. I just don't see it that way. The other things that I do see. Here's the second thing that I think really is a major factor to look at, and that is, what is your passion in life? Now, you might say, I'm just not a terribly passionate person. Well, I would disagree. You're probably screaming and jumping up and down when your kids are playing soccer or you're at a Redskin game or whatever. We all have a passion, all right? But even if you're a fairly quiet person, you know that there's a stirring passion in your heart. It could be for almost anything, all right? It kind of fits this idea of being frustrated, but you just sort of have a passion to fix whatever it is, lead someplace or serve somewhere or whatever. You've just got this in you. And I would say lastly, and this is important, maybe the most important, what do people around you tend to say you're good at? What do they say you're good at? They might end up saying something like, you know, I've noticed that every time that somebody in our street has a problem, you're the first person to bake a cake or you're the first person to organize something, you might have the gift of serving, all right? Or maybe the gift of administration. But there are things that you are driven by. You're frustrated by things that aren't working that way. You have a passion for it, and you have people telling you that you're really good at this. It could be going to the hospital and showing compassion. You might just be really good at doing that type of thing. So let me give you an example of somebody that found their gift. All right, and then we're going to look at a text, and we're going to actually walk through a number of spiritual gifts. In 1994, 95 time frame, I went up to Willow Creek Church, where Bill Hybels pastors, and at that time the church was running 20-some thousand people. It just grew like crazy, huge, I think a 4,000 or 5,000 seat auditorium. And it was a leadership seminar taught by Bill. Bill Hybels is a very gifted leader. And I came home with my notebook and all the strategies and all that kind of stuff. And when I got home, I realized, I don't think this is my thing. Now, I lead in different ways. I'm sort of leading now, and I can do that. But I'm talking about the way people normally think of leadership. You know, strategic thinking and taking the next hill and five-year plan. The staff knows I've got about a one-hour plan, all right? So I surround myself with people that do the things better than I do. So I got back, and I thought, I don't know what to do with this. Was a young man sitting there that I've never met before, but he was at that very same conference, and his name is Andy Stanley. And Andy Stanley is Charles Stanley's son, as many of you know. He now has the largest church in America, roughly 60,000 people. As a matter of fact, my family's there this morning. They got tired of my preaching. Now, they're down there for a family situation. Anyway, so they're going to go there this morning. Andy's message is not going to be anywhere near as good as this, but anyway. So Andy was sitting there in that auditorium, and here's what he said to himself. He said, as Bill Hybels described the gift of leadership, Andy said to himself, I think that's me. I think that's who I am. And he went back to Atlanta, and he planted North Point Church, which I said is running, you know, a gazillion people, a lot. But here was Bill Hybels taking his gift of leadership and exhortation to challenge the people there, particularly in the area of leadership, to take that gift and do something with it. If Andy had never gone to that seminar, it's not saying that he wouldn't have done some other things, he would have, but he never really saw himself. He never saw it described that way. And so he goes back, so here's Bill wanting to advance the kingdom of God using his grace gift of exhortation to exhort Andy to take his gift of leadership, which he simply thought was a talent, and now use it for the advancement of the kingdom of God. That's how it works, all right? Now, with all of that said, I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to go back to Romans. Last week we were in Romans 5. Just go to your left and you'll come across the book of Romans. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And here's what we're going to do. There are seven gifts that are mentioned in Romans chapter 12. They are not exhaustive. The gifts that are found in the Bible are found in several different places. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 has a list of gifts, and you see it in Ephesians 4, and you see it here in Romans 12, but 1 Peter 4:10 says we're exhorted to use that gift, all right? So as we look at this, keep in mind, this is not exhaustive, but I suspect many of you will identify to some degree with each one of these gifts. And then at the end, I'm going to sort of challenge you to go home and be thinking about what God has given you that helps advance the kingdom of God. Some of you that might not be there yet as far as a believer, you might see a lot of this as, I can do that. I've got a talent in that area. You do, all right? And God has given you that particular talent or ability. But once you enter into the kingdom, the grace begins to work in a very, very different way. It doesn't just work in a temporal way. It works in an eternal way. Now, with all this said, I want you to note that one of my job descriptions as a pastor is found in Ephesians 4, where it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints to do the work of ministry. So my job description to some degree is to take some of my gifts and use those to exhort you to do the work of ministry. The work of ministry is you take that spiritual gift empowered by God's grace to advance the kingdom of God. So here we are. Now, I am going to read the first few verses because it sort of sets the stage here before we actually get to the list, all right? And there's a famous, kind of a well-known passage at the very beginning where Paul talks about, you know, presenting ourselves before the Lord. Here's what it says, starting in verse 1 of chapter 12 of Romans. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, meaning all that has been said before, by God's mercy, here's what I want you to do. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, perfect will. Verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, there's that example again, the physical body, many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. All right? So here's his description. Just as your body has many members, hands, toes, eyes, ears, and so on, so the body of Christ has many members. And there are gifts that are given to those members of the body of Christ that are designed to be administered to not only people in the body, but people outside the body for the advancement of the kingdom of God. That's the idea here. So then he gets to this place. And he says, we all have different gifts according to the grace that is given us in verse 6. And then he says this. Now he's going to start going through the list. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Now, it's a little controversial because I said that earlier that there are miraculous sign gifts such as healing, that type of thing, and I don't want to get into all that. But generally speaking, the gifts here and most of the gifts that are found in Scripture are literally talents that somebody had beforehand that are now being used by God's grace to advance the kingdom. They're just empowered differently. The Apostle Paul was persecuting the church. He was a leader. He was driven to destroy the church. Once he came to Christ, that grace turned to pursuing the church and planting churches. See? Talent now empowered by God's grace. So, this issue here of prophecy, most scholars believe that in the New Testament, it's not like the Old Testament prophets that would stand before Israel and say, this is what is going to happen. You know, here's the judgment that's going to come upon you. Or as the prophets of old would prophesy of Christ coming, all these messianic prophecies that are found in Psalms and all the prophets. That's not what this here is most likely talking about. It is most likely talking about a person that sees things very, very clearly. When you think of a person who's prophetic or has sort of a prophetic gift about them, they love truth. They absolutely love truth. And they just see things very, very clearly, sort of black and white. That's just how they see things. Now, you have to keep in mind that any of our gifts can be used in wrong ways as well. But I also think it probably carries with it this also. I think that there are people that just have a unique ability to see things in Scripture that other people don't see. Everybody's given a certain amount of insight, but some people, it just comes off the page at them, and they just sort of know what to do. It's just very, very clear. I take that to be sort of what it's talking about here when it's talking about prophecy. So it says, if you have the gift of prophecy, do so as, according to the faith that is given you. Then it says, in the next verse, in verse 7, it says this, if it is serving, let him serve. This is where we get the word deacon from. We have a diaconate here. We have a deacon board. We have people that love to serve. Normally, when you think of a deacon, you think of somebody that loves to serve. And we've got a great group of people here that as soon as they find out there is a need in the body, an individual, a hospital, a financial problem, or working through whatever, they're there. And they'll do whatever they have to do to minister. That is how they are wired. That is God's grace gift to them. And when God saved them by his grace, he sovereignly placed them into the body because you desperately need people who serve. Now, if you're looking at this, you might say, you know, I think that's me. I just sort of want to serve people. I don't know that I've been doing it to the degree that God's grace wants me to do it, but it's sort of there. I just have this desire to reach out and serve people. And so I think this is a very, very, very important gift. So it says, if it's serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. Now, a teacher normally is somebody who really loves to study a subject. It's not so much the gift of communication as it is the gift of really studying and then wanting to tell people about it. Again, people who are not considering themselves to be believers that are great teachers in the world of science or medicine or technology are people that love to study that. They spend hours preparing and studying so that they can teach that to other people. It isn't necessarily the gift of communicating it. It's just the passion that they have to want to teach what they know. So if you look at yourself and you say, I think I have that. I think I see things in Scripture. I think there are things that I just have. I can take that into the marketplace. I can take that into the workplace. I can take that into the basketball team. I can take that into my dorm at college. I just have I read a lot, I study things, and I believe I can use that by God's grace to advance his kingdom. Because wherever there's a grace gift, wherever that place is, whether it's in a dorm room in a college, whether it's in a business, whether it's in the government, the kingdom of God is there. And the kingdom of God begins to advance when people use that grace gift the way God has called them to use it. So he talks about teaching. Then he says this. He says that in verse 8, if it is encouraging, let him encourage. Now, here again, you probably know whether that is you, whether you are the type of person who just seeks people out to encourage. You're the type of person that when somebody has lost their job, going through a difficult time, you find yourself naturally, like a magnet, drawn to those people. Some of you would say, I don't even know what to say in that situation. That's not your gift. It's not your gift. So just don't say anything, all right? So those of you that are gifted at that, you do want to pull up alongside. You say, you know, I know that's just how I'm made. I just gravitate toward that. But I think I've sort of had a cork on the bottle. I'm getting wrapped up with life, and I don't think about it much anymore. It's sort of there, but it's been latent for so long, I haven't really done much with it. Well, release it. Let God use it, because God will use it in ways you have no idea. You have no idea how many people have been encouraged by somebody's talent in that, or that just that ability to encourage, but it's for a temporal time. It helps them out for a while. And then there are people in the kingdom that use that encouragement, and those people wind up coming to faith. And their lives change due to the fact that somebody encouraged them, and God took that through the power of that grace gift and multiplied it, and the kingdom advanced. So use that gift. And he goes on, he says, if it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. This deals with the idea of giving. Now, here is the problem, I think, sometimes with gifts. We think, well, you know, I don't have the gift of leadership, so I'll never lead. No. Everybody has a certain amount of leadership in them. You just simply have to marry your leadership to the situation. But not everybody's going to lead a huge corporation or something, okay? You may not be that good at certain things, but it doesn't mean you don't do anything. So when it says here, give generously, don't say to yourself, well, I don't have that gift. Because apparently a lot of people in the kingdom of God don't seem to have that gift and don't think they want to give anything, all right? No, you can still give, and you can give generously, but there are some people that just release it. It's no problem at all to write out the check, to help somebody out, even if it's not a tax write-off. They're more than happy to help somebody out. That's just who they are. And you need people like that in the kingdom of God, because this is how God uses that gift to advance things and missions and all the different things that we do here and all around the world. So here again, you kind of look at yourself and you say, I think that's who I am. I think that's how God has made me. I think that's what this is. And when you take any one of these gifts, whatever it is, you have to have the faith to believe that even if you don't see all the results, that God does, and that God will empower way beyond just a talent, that God might do something that's so far beyond anything that you could ask or think, it's still there. You don't even know what the timing is, but God will still use it in a great way. Here's one. He goes on and he says here, if it is leadership, let him govern diligently. Leadership, I look at that in the sense of how the world would look at it. It's the type of person that says, I think I can build this corporation. I think I can lead this team. I think we can accomplish this. I think people will follow me. I'm a driven person. I want to get the job done. I can take the hill. But, though that may be a type of leadership, when you enter into the kingdom of God, that takes a whole different dimension. Because now, as you're leading a company or whatever you're doing, you're seeing all those people that are following you through the lens of the grace gift of leadership. And you believe that your life and the way that you lead will transform things. I remember, because we just really don't change much. When we come into the world, you know, you can change in your morals and that sort of thing, but you're kind of wired a certain way. And many of you remember John Woodall that was on staff here. Now, John is just a born leader. He just thinks leadership. And he and I just kind of, we spent many, many years together, and that's just how he thinks, all right? And I love to listen to him talk about leadership. I even told him one day, I think someday you're going to be a national men's leader. And I think he probably will be. But John one day brought in his report card to me. He said, I found this old report card when I was in the fourth grade. And it had his grades on one side and the comments from the teacher on the other side. And so John says, you know what my teacher said? We really like John, except when he's telling everybody else what to do. Doesn't change. We used to have a joke around here, John's got a wonderful plan for your life, you know. that's John, all right? So you know who you are. You feel it. It's in your bones. Now, again, this is not an exhaustive list. Now we look at this last one. It says, leadership, let him do it diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Now, I think this is important because mercy is sort of a compassion gift empowered by God's grace. And I knew that I had that way before I became a believer. Well before I entered the kingdom, I always hurt for people that were hurting. It just pained me. And I would just, it upset me a lot. When I entered the kingdom, I began to realize, I looked around, I saw the world very, very differently. I saw people around me very, very differently. I saw it through that gift. So when I teach, and every pastor's got a different style because he's coming out pretty much as to how he sees life. And when I teach, people kid me because I'm always mentioning the world system in the world. It's because I don't want you to get hurt by believing what the world says. I want you to be healed by what the Word says. So I'm driven more from that than other situations. We were at a little get-together at my house. My wife had it for some, like a cooking class or something. There was a lady there who was very young, 28, 29 years old, and she was teaching other women how to cook. And she was pregnant, her fourth child. And she got home that night. I just met her that evening. And she got home that night and found out that her husband had lost his job. And I don't know, there was a high-paying job. And she's been holding down about three jobs. And they've lost their health insurance and everything. I can hardly sleep. I just met her. Somebody else might go, boy, that's really too bad. And move on with their life. And that's fine. For me, I'm tossing and turning thinking, who is going to solve this problem? Who's going to fix this situation? Who's going to do this? That's I think. So each one of you has something that God has given you, and he's given you to the body. And he doesn't expect you to hide. There is no performance review. There's no file on how you're doing in the kingdom. It's pretty easy to hide. It's pretty easy to come to church, pretty easy to do whatever. We're not even talking about getting involved here. We're talking about the marketplace. I'm talking about taking that gift of mercy or giving or leadership or teaching or encouragement or whatever it happens to be. I'm talking about taking that into your neighborhood. I'm talking about taking that into your sports team, taking that onto the school board, taking that into the government, taking the kingdom of God into those places, even if you simply think of yourself as a small little cog on the wheel. You have no idea what God can do with that. But you have to unpack it, you have to release it, you have to use it. And that's why this whole list is given here. It's very, very important. Keep in mind that talent empowered by God's grace will do what talent cannot do alone. And all of you have those talents, and God, if you're in the kingdom, has now empowered that by his grace. It's very much like Jesus' statement to his disciples near the end of his life in John, where he says, by this will all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. And I thought, wait a minute, how can you tell whether somebody is loving out of the power of Christ or simply just loving? You can be outside the kingdom and love people. How can anybody see the difference? I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is God says they'll know. That's what he says, which means that God in his sovereignty is working through that grace gift of love to other people in ways that you and I can't see. This is why I love to hear testimonies of people's lives. When I travel, when I go different places around the world and I meet people that are so different than we are here, different cultures, different backgrounds, and when I find out that they've come to know the Lord, I want to hear their story. Tell me your story. And it's fascinating to hear how somebody, through encouragement, through mercy, whatever, brought that grace gift into their lives, and after a while, they saw such a difference in that person over other people. They knew something was different, and that laid the platform for that person to be able to tell them about Christ and the kingdom advances and begins to move. That's how it works. That's how it works. So, you have to be asking yourself this question. Do I believe that I even understand what my gift is? I've already given you three things to think about, all right? And I want you to go home and I want you to think about it. Then I want you to ask yourself, oh yeah, I've always known I have a passion in this area, or people tell me I'm good at this, but I must admit, I'm really not using it. I've just been consumed with life, I'm consumed at work, I'm consumed with this, without realizing as you go into that marketplace, as you go into the work world, you are carrying the very grace of God, which God says is very powerful and works in a mighty way. And you need to be thinking about that as you go wherever you go. You're carrying that with you, and you have no idea what God's going to do with it and how he's going to multiply it in mighty ways. So you need to be thinking about that. Now think about this. Suppose every single Christian in the United States, and I don't know how many there are, but of the millions of believers, just suppose, just very hypothetical, every single believer was mature enough to understand that they had this grace gift, and all the millions of Christians in this United States were actually leveraging and exercising that particular gift, administering that gift, as Peter tells us, administering that gift to other people, this nation would not be in the trouble it's in right now. Would not be in that trouble. Because God has told us to be the salt and light of the world. We're the preserving agent, all right? And when we exercise that and use that, it's a dynamic that we can't fully understand. But where does all this come from? There's a great statement that Paul makes when he says this. He refers to the grace of God in giving Jesus to us, and he refers to it as an unspeakable gift. An unspeakable gift. God gave his son as a gift to this world, as a gift. The gift being that you cannot earn, if you're outside, you cannot earn your place in the kingdom by being religious or doing something. It is a gift. It is the gift of his son who gave his life to pay the penalty for sin. And all those who trust in Christ alone will leave that world of talent and enter into the world of grace, being empowered. That talent will be empowered to do things that talent cannot do by itself. That's the unspeakable gift. It is a gift. It's a gift. So, if you're outside the kingdom, I invite you to enter today through Jesus Christ. If you're inside, I encourage you, I exhort you to look at what you have, what God has sovereignly blessed you with and given you, and you take that into your family, into the marketplace, into the world, and things will change. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to exhort and encourage these dear people that come here week after week. I pray, Father, for those that may be here right now that have never even heard of all these things. They've never even heard of the gift of eternal life through Christ. So today would be the day. I trust they would no longer be trusting in their human goodness or their church or anything else but Christ alone for their salvation, that they could pass from death unto life. I pray, Father, that we could take these amazing abilities and talents that are now empowered by your grace to take into this world and have this world dramatically change. We'll trust you with that, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.